Can we pray together as we begin? God, we love you and magnify your name. You are worthy of worship. Help us, Lord, today to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray, God, that you will fill us with your power. Help us to take hold of your word and the truth therein and to live that truth. Help us to treat others with your kind of love. And help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Strengthen our pastor, Joel, as he leads today. And I pray, Lord, for each person, maybe those that are grieving today, that you'll comfort them. Those that are hurting physically today, that you'll heal them. And those that are in need of a spiritual touch, and pray, God, that you would provide that today for them. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin today thinking about sharing the gospel worldwide as we worship God, as we serve God, as we share the good news. Let's stand as we sing, "I Worship You, Almighty God."
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is all I want to
glad you're here, part of our traditional 10:30 worship. If you're a guest of ours today, then grab a guest card in front of you or hit the QR code in your bulletin and it'll take you to a digital copy. Fill that out. We would appreciate you doing that. The physical copy, you can just throw in the offering plate when it comes by, or you can send the digital copy to our office. Thank you for being here today. Glad you're here. Walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Thank you. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
Amen. I have some special guests with me today, some of my best friends in the whole world, and they're from Meridian, Mississippi, Philip and Amy Price, and then the lovely Miss Charlene Clayton, who will soon be 90 years old. Charlene was our church secretary at 15th Avenue Baptist, where I served for 9.5 years, and it was always a joy to come into the office and have Miss Charlene there serving. And Miss Charlene, you kept doing that up until what? It hadn't been long ago that you finally retired. So just in the recent years, she retired. And we're delighted that they're here today. Now, this is a little bit out of the ordinary, but we're going to get our hymn books out. And we're going to turn to Miss Charlene's favorite hymn. It's hymn number 83. We just sang a beautiful Bill Gaither song, and this one is another one called There's Something About That Name. It's hymn number 83. We would do favorite hymn nights occasionally, and I always knew what Miss Charlene was going to select on Sunday nights when we would gather for worship and do favorite hymns. And Miss Charlene, I love you so much. So glad that y'all are here today. Just something about that name. Amen. Brother Joel's preaching today, and we've covered worship and service, and the choir's going to lead us in missions, in evangelism. And so we hope that you will celebrate with us as they sing Send the Light. I'm not opposed to you singing along. And so let's worship the Lord together and think about sharing the gospel worldwide, starting right here in Gunnersville, as the choir sings Send the Light with the great song also in it, He Reigns.
Send the light.
Thank you so much, choir and congregation. Let's stand as we prepare to receive the morning offering. We'll sing hymn number 572, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a praising my Savior all the day long.
Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this morning with humble and thankful hearts, Lord. Thankful for your love for us, Lord. Thankful for, Lord, your blessings. And thankful, Lord, to be able to be called children of the Most High. Lord, this morning as we worship, we pray, Lord, that we'll have servant hearts, Lord, and that we will praise you in your holy name, Lord, that you will be glorified through the study of your word, through the music, and Lord, that all that we do will be for your honor and for your glory. Lord, as we take up an offering this morning, we just pray that you multiply and bless it for the further it's your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today through the music as we've thought about what Karen was playing. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the ensemble as they sing and let us hear the word that they proclaim Then Brother Joel's message, we pray, God, that you would anoint him, bless the preparation he's put in, and may he deliver the word of God to us so we can hear it and understand it. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would minister to us as we receive the word today, that we could live that truth each and every moment of our lives and not be led astray by the things of this world, but follow closely the truth that comes from Jesus and his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, raise your hand, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live.
Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain.
So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. Remember, when you walk, sometimes you fall. So follow Jesus, follow Jesus, follow Jesus and live.
Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, cry to Jesus.
And with
Thank you, ensemble. The progression of that song is so powerful. The song starts out weak and wounded sinner, and then it ends with fly to Jesus. Man, it's so good. And I know that it was just a few weeks ago. I mean, it doesn't take me long to break my own rules, does it? It was just a few weeks ago that I said, okay, I'm going to stop doing this whole thing of, oh, that's, you know, because we're in this series on these great characters of Scripture. So I promise you, I'm not going to come up here every single Sunday and say, this is one of my all-time favorite characters. I promise I'm going to stop that. I'm going to stop saying, you know, oh, that's one of my all-time favorite songs. And then Ken goes and does one of my all-time favorite songs. So Thursday, was it Thursday? I think it was Thursday. So Karen has this music sitting, or no. I see the order of worship. And they've got it sitting out. Ken and Karen are kind of talking about it. And I'm just kind of standing there listening to their conversation. And I look down and I see the title of that song. And I looked at Karen and Ken's like, oh, that's one of my favorites. And I love that song. The progression of that song that starts out weak and wounded sinner and then ends with that glory of flying to Jesus. Man, that is so good and so powerful. And I do love that song. Well, it has prepared my heart for the word today, John chapter 12. And the cast of characters today is a little different because our characters today, there's three. It involves three characters rather than just one. Typically in this series, we've just been looking at one character each week and just kind of looking at one thing about that one character. And we're going to do that today with our three characters, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in John chapter 12. Now, Jesus is on his journey. According to all of the gospel writers, all of the gospel writers give us what they would consider to be Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. Now, when we talk about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, we're talking about Jesus' journey to the cross, the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And so this is at the very beginning of, according to John, Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. Every now and then, and we're not doing it this year, but sometimes, some years, according to what I'm doing and how the Lord leads and the series that I may or may not be in, we'll do a journey to Jerusalem through one of the gospel narratives. And last year, we actually did that in the Gospel of John, and we started at the end of John chapter 11. And so we walked with Jesus all the way to past Easter, to the ascension of Jesus, but we walked with Jesus through the Gospel of John to Jerusalem, to his death, burial, and resurrection. Last year, when we got to this passage of Scripture, John chapter 12, we looked at the whole passage. And what we did last year was we did a comparison. And we compared the extravagant love of Mary, and we'll see that in this passage of Scripture. But then we read on in this great story, and we compared the extravagant love of Mary to the self-centered betrayal of Judas. And we talked about those two characters and how Mary's incredible, extravagant, overflowing, over-the-top love for Jesus. And then right in the same story, we have Judas's self-centeredness and his betrayal of Jesus. And so we did a big comparison of those two. Well, this year, obviously, we're not going to do that. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture, just the first three verses, from a totally different perspective than we did last year. But look at verses 1, 2, and 3, John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served. Lazarus was among those who ate with him. And then Mary took 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. And then the house was filled with the fragrance of this expensive perfume lotion that she poured out on Jesus' feet. Lucado's point with these three characters is this, one brother, two sisters, is that we're all needed in the body of Christ. We're all needed. All of our gifts are to be used for the kingdom of God. One is no more important than the other. Simply this, that they're all different. And we'll see that as we look at these three characters today. It's an excellent point for the church. We have this terrible, terrible, terrible tendency, and we do this because of our sin. Let's just be very honest about it. Our sinfulness that leads to pride and arrogance. We have this really bad, terrible tendency in the church, in the body of Christ, to elevate certain gifts above the other ones. You know, those gifts that look so bold and brash and strong and confident. Those gifts that look so spiritual, and we like that. We like the way those gifts look in the body of Christ, and we like to be one of those that kind of has those gifts because we like the way that it makes us look. And so because of our sinfulness, we have this terrible tendency to elevate certain gifts, that bold and brash, strong, spiritual ones that look spiritual, while others sometimes kind of look small and weak. But the truth of the matter is, biblically speaking, they're all needed in order for the body to be the body. He uses this illustration of a band to make his point. The flute section is soft and sweet. The trumpet sounds loud and strong. And the bass drum keeps the rhythm. They're all different, and yet they're all, at the same time, very needed. By themselves, they make music, he says, but together they make magic. And the same is true for the body of Christ. Not all of us play the same instrument. Not all of us are soft and sweet. It was real funny. After the early worship was over with, one of our loud and brash ladies came up to me and she said, "I'm so glad that you did that and that you pointed that out and that you used Lucado's illustration of the band, because obviously there's no doubt I'm the flute section and I'm soft and I'm sweet." And she couldn't get it out of her mouth before I was screaming, laughing in her face. I said, "I guess I should have waited, at least acted like it's somewhat true." She said, "Yeah, you could have given me to the end of the sentence." Some are soft and sweet. She's not. Some are loud and strong. She is. Others keep the place moving. Others keep the place going. The question is not whether you fit into the body of Christ. That's not the question. The question is, where do you fit in the body of Christ? Are you the flute section? Are you the trumpet section? Are you the drums? I think I even said this morning in early worship, I think I even said, for that matter, some of you may be flag twirlers for all that matters. It doesn't matter. As long as we all recognize and realize our place in the body of Christ. When we had one of our young couples join this morning, we've got more young couples coming to this church now in my 27 years that I've been the pastor of this church. It's great to see. I think Wednesday night, and I could be wrong, Janice Mobies, you might say, "I didn't say that. What in the world are you putting words in my mouth?" It seems like that I was coming around the table Wednesday night, and I think I heard Janice Mobies say, "I think it's so wonderful to see all these young couples with their families and their kids sitting over there on Wednesday night suppers." Did you say that? All right, my ears did not deceive me. I think I heard that. And I thought to myself when Janice said that, I thought, yeah, I do too. I do too. It's fun to see. It's wonderful to see all of these young couples just slamming our church on Sunday morning, especially during the early worship. We're trying to deal with how we're going to deal with all these young couples. What are we going to do with them? I mean, where are we going to put them all? And so that's a great thing. Some of them are really starting to get the idea of joining the church. Now, we know that there's nothing biblical about joining the church. There's something altogether biblical about being a part of the body of Christ and being in Christ Jesus and following Christ and being a part of the body. Yes, there's certainly something biblical about that. As a matter of fact, there's a lot biblical about that. There's nothing necessarily biblical about joining the church. But one of the things that I tell a lot of these young couples is, I say, when you join the church, it's as if you're saying, "This is now my church. I'm a part of this church. And once you have that sense of belonging, then there's a greater sense of wanting to find your place of worship and service. But we all have our place fit worshiping and serving right here in the body of Christ. The question is not, do you have a place? The question is, where is your place of worship and service? When people join a church, I basically pray the same thing every time. It's not the same exact words, but it's the same idea. We had one of our young couples join the church this morning. And I pray pretty much the same prayer. Lord, through us and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you will help this family or help this individual find their place of worship and service right here at First Baptist Church. Most theologians believe that this dinner was in honor of Jesus, and it should have been. It was in honor of Jesus because Jesus has just brought Lazarus back from the dead. And so in order to honor Jesus for bringing Lazarus back from the dead, they had a dinner in honor of him. Now, this message primarily, specifically, is about Mary and Martha and Lazarus and their place that they found in the body of Christ and in how they used their gifts in order to proclaim the good news of the gospel to a world that is in need. However, as a preacher, and this being one of my favorite passages of Scripture and favorite stories, I can't just pass over and gloss over this word that John says, you know, the man that Jesus raised from the dead. Did you hear what John just said? The man that Jesus raised from the dead. Let me say that again. The man that Jesus raised from the dead. It wasn't like he was dehydrated really, really, really bad, and really all he needed was somebody to come along and prescribe the right liquid for him to drink. And once he drank enough water, oh, he kind of got himself back together. No, 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 no. He wasn't 99% dead. And Jesus healed him of whatever it was that was his ailment. And he woke up and all of a sudden he was back to life again. And he was feeling so much better. No, no, no. He was dead. As I said in early worship this morning, I remember hearing an old-fashioned preacher. He was an old guy. I was probably in my early 30s. And this old guy was preaching on John chapter 11 and raising Lazarus from the dead. He was a hacker preacher, which I love hacker preachers. I'm not going to do it for you, but I love hacking preachers. And he was a hacking preacher. And he had it going, and he had it going. And I can remember him saying, Lazarus wasn't just dead, he was good and dead. And he looked out to the congregation, and he said, and I've said this in funeral services, by the way. And he looked out the congregation, he said, do you know the difference between being dead and being good and dead? And then he used another southern phrase. He said, being good and dead is being dead as a doornail. And it just was southern phrase after southern phrase after southern phrase about how dead Lazarus was. And Jesus brought him back to life. We did Wade Smith's funeral Friday. Just about every funeral, I end with John 11. It's too powerful. When we're there and we're grieving the loss of somebody that we've loved, somebody that's loved us, man, that's just too powerful of a story. I mean, Jesus physically did exactly to show us physically what's going to happen spiritually. He brought Lazarus back from the dead. Before he did that, he had that great conversation with Martha. He said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me and lives in me, even though he's going to die a physical death, he will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, I do. I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead to show us exactly what's going to happen to us spiritually. The Marthas, well, they're celebrating. And they're celebrating because of what Jesus has done. And that's what we're doing today as well. Jesus has done the same thing for us that he did for Lazarus. So we're celebrating just like they were celebrating. The Marthas in the body were certainly needed. I said this morning in early worship, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm talking about Martha. And I said, by the way, we've got our own Martha right here at First Baptist Church. Matter of fact, her name's Martha. Our Martha is kind of like the Martha here. And I think I said something like this. If you show up on a Wednesday night at about 5:45 and you come in the fellowship hall, you're going to see exactly what a real Martha looks like. Sleeves rolled up, an apron on, steam coming from the kitchen, washing pots and pans. That's kind of what a Martha looks like in our story. If Marthas have a flaw at all, and I made sure I said this too, Martha. By the way, our Martha doesn't have this flaw. But if Marthas in general do have a flaw, it's that they sometimes elevate the mission over the master. You know, our Martha in the story did that. Remember, it's recorded in Luke chapter 10. Mary seated at Jesus' feet, honoring while Martha is in the kitchen banging pots and pans and getting things ready for the dinner. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me alone to do all the work? Tell her to come in here and help me. And Jesus responded. He said, Martha, 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 Martha. You're worried. You're upset about a lot of stuff, aren't you? Only one thing is important right now. And Mary has chosen that better thing. And it will never be taken away from her. And 2,000 years later, it hasn't been taken away from her. Isn't that great? Mary has chosen the better thing. And here they are in another story doing the same exact thing. Mary is worshiping at Jesus' feet. What's Martha doing? Martha's in the kitchen banging pots and pans trying to get the table ready. But this time, Martha seems to get it, doesn't she? Isn't that great? Mary, on the other hand, is worshiping at Jesus' feet. She takes this expensive jar of perfume, pours it out over Jesus' feet. She wipes his feet with her hair. And the scripture ends this part of this story so perfectly. John then says, and the whole house was filled with the fragrance. Now you understand that what John is really meaning there, he's not talking about necessarily just the scent of this expensive perfume. He's talking about the whole house is filled with this fragrant, smell, sight, beautiful picture of what it really means to worship the one who's given life. The Cato says, every church needs Marys. We need them to pray for our children. We need them to put passion in our worship. We need them to write songs of praise and sing songs of glory. We need them to kneel and weep and lift their hands and pray. We need them because we tend to forget how much God loves our worship. But Marys never forget. Isn't that great? Lazarus really didn't do anything at dinner. But he saved his actions for later. John records the large crowd of Jews heard that Jesus was in Bethany. So they went there to see not only Jesus, but Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So the leading priests made plans to kill Lazarus too. Because Lazarus, his testimony, the evangelism of Lazarus, many Jews were leaving them, the religious leaders, and following and believing in Jesus. So Lazarus had this testimony, and apparently by the power of the Holy Spirit given to him, that testimony went out. People were listening and people were now following Jesus because Lazarus was testifying to what Jesus had done. If you called to be a Martha, then serve. Called to be a Mary, then worship. Called to be a Lazarus, then testify. We're all needed in the body. For the body to be the body, we all do our part. Everyone is needed. Lucado ends this word by saying, if you are a Martha, be strengthened. God sees your service. If you are Mary, be encouraged. God receives your worship. If you're a Lazarus, be strong. God honors your conviction. But then he closes this word by saying this. But if you are a Judas, be warned. God sees your selfishness. So the gospel is all three. The gospel is worship. The gospel is evangelism. The gospel is service. It's not only those three, but it's more than that. It's discipleship. It's stewardship. It's all of those things all wrapped up in one. And they all three, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they all three represent for us the gospel because their lives were changed because of the man named Jesus, whom Martha said, "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God." And all three of their lives were changed because of their relationship with Jesus. And that's the gospel message. That's the good news today. That has not changed. Not one bit has changed in 2,000 years. All over the world today, people are celebrating the gift of life given because of this man named Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah. That is the gospel. And oh, by the way, that's what prayer and the word looks like. Father, thank you so much for a great story of these three, brother and two sisters, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and what they represent. Lives changed by the gospel, the good news. Thank you, Father, for that gift today. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life in Jesus, and then how do we respond to that gift of life? Like Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That's our prayer. Thank you for allowing us to have a place in the body of Christ to worship you, to serve you, to evangelize about you, to learn and grow in you, to give because of you, to realize life in the name of Jesus, and then to celebrate that. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful picture today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. I Surrender All is our hymn of invitation. If you've never trusted Christ today, then we encourage you to do that. We encourage you to make Jesus your Savior and Lord. Follow Him. Encourage you to make that public before this church family. If you need to come and join our church or come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing. Please be seated real quickly. What do we got first, Will? All right, so this Wednesday night is our, we've been talking about this for several weeks, it's for our students, Worship on the Water, not just First Baptist students, but students all over the Gunnersville, Marshall County. I think they've got students coming from all over Marshall County for this. It starts at 6 o'clock at the harbor, and if you need information on that, just get in touch with Warren. He'll be happy to get you all the information you need on that. Because of Worship on the Water, Martha had a good idea to Roy. Roy communicated to me, and then the staff, I brought it up to the staff, and the staff just took it and ran with it. And that is, this Wednesday night, while worship on the water is going on, we're going to have in the sanctuary prayer for our students and for all that's going on down there. So we're going to start at 6 o'clock. Make sure you understand that. Normally, every Wednesday night, we're in here at 6:30. This Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, we'll start. Ken's going to lead us in a few worship songs. I'm going to read some scripture, and we're going to talk about prayer for a moment or two. And then we've got five different prayer stations that we'll have set up. And on those prayer stations, you'll just kind of go to a prayer station, spend 5, 10, 15 minutes in prayer, move to another prayer station, and we'll be praying for the students at Worship on the Water. Now, we talked to Warren about this, and Warren was just thrilled. So what Warren did was Wednesday night, he got the students to write anonymous prayer requests on little pieces of paper. And so he gave those to Karen. Karen then gave them or showed them to me. So at some of the stations, we'll have these prayer requests from our students. So it's going to be really good. It's just a great opportunity for us as church family to be in prayer for our student and our student ministry. And then we'll have prayer requests from each and every one of those students about things that's going on in their life, and we can lift those things up to the Lord in prayer. So that's going to be good. Now, because of Worship on the Water and because of prayer time in here Wednesday night, we're moving our quarterly business meeting to the following week. So this week would normally be first quarterly business meeting of the year. We're moving that to the 22nd. All right, so keep that in mind. That will be 6:30, just like normal. We'll be back to normal time the week after that. Quarterly business meeting in here. We've got several big items that we've got coming up. One of the big items is that it's time for a makeover in our church. When we got in this church, December the 17th, 2000, so it's been over 22 years ago, this was the original carpet that we had and pew cushions, and it's been great. I mean, if you'd have told me then that's going to last for over 22 years, I don't know that I would have thought that it could, but it has, and it's done well. But it's time for us to do a makeover. So the Building and Grounds Committee is working hard to try to do this summer after Vacation Bible School. We'll get one more VBS in here and destroy it for a week, and then we'll just pull it all up and start all over again with a new carpet and new pew cushions. So on that Wednesday night, the Building and Grounds Committee will have for us their selection for the carpet and for the pew cushions. So you might want to be here to see what's going to happen there and what choice that they're going to. You'll have an opportunity to voice your opinion or whatever the case may be. So that will be on that Wednesday night. Also on that Wednesday night, Roy and Brian Harrell have been working really hard at thinking about parking, and we're going to talk about going ahead and parking this grass area that is in a fenced area right out here. We talked to Mike, and Mike said, I don't use that anymore now that we've got this over here. So we're thinking about, let's go ahead and get that done and park on that area. So we want to kind of go ahead and do that and move quickly on that. We'll bring Roy and Brian Harrell and the deacons. We'll be bringing that up as well. Today, I walked out there, and one of the young men in our class said, or not in the young class, and he's one of our deacons, and he said, today is a really bad day. It's time change. It's terrible weather. And we didn't have a good crowd in early worship at all. This one's not bad, but early worship was not bad. I mean, it was really low. And he said, we've got six, and on a bad day, we've got six open parking spaces right now. So we've got to work on parking. And Roy and Brian are really working on that. And so we'll be talking about that on quarterly business meeting as well. So keep that in mind. All right. Do we have a picture of a family up there?
Yeah, we got one more announcement.
Oh, one more announcement. Oh, yeah, senior adults. Senior adults, Easter luncheon, April the 1st, 11 a.m. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. I already got a lot signing up for that. Keep that in mind. All right. And then the Miles family, J.D., Aaron, Hudson, Julia May, and Harper. Aaron, J.D. and Hudson all come knowing Christ as Savior and Lord and followed in believers' baptism, praying for the two younger girls that they'll make that decision. But they come today wanting to join with First Baptist Church, so the next time that you see J.D., Aaron Hudson, Julia Mayer, Harper, make sure that you encourage them as they come to be a part of First Baptist Church. All right, anything else? Ooh, that was a lot. All right, let's close by standing and singing the doxology.
Praise God.